The Robber Barons, Jay Gould's great plan. This, of course, is after he managed to escape with $30 million in the Erie issue. Well, Jay Gould was a small man, weak in physique, but he loved power. Actually, the realities of power rather than its trappings. Quote, I don't care at that time about mere making of money, quote, commented with reference to his sensational exploits in the Missouri Pacific Railroad. Quote, it was more to show that I could make a combination and make it a success, end of quote. Now remember, combination is almost like building yourself a monopoly, but the giant size of a project, the dangers it offered, the speed and skillful precision with which it must be carried out, all of this is what stirred Gould's imagination. Since his boyhood, he had dreamed of making a transcontinental railroad. And now in 1873, free of the Erie, he had begun buying shares of the Great Union Pacific. After the Credit Mobilier scandal, UP stock was worth $100 par value. It sank to $30 and ultimately down to $14 a share. Gould bought and bought and bought Union Pacific stock. At a Senate committee years later, Gould said, quote, I found myself a very large owner in that property, Union Pacific, and then I found out that $10 million worth of bonds were to come due in a month or two. It was rather a blue condition of things, end of quote. In accordance with Gould's large designs, and the economic situation was perfect. A man with cash in a depression. What more can you ask? Gould purchased one bankrupt railroad after another. He did that throughout the Midwest and the southwest part of the United States. He bought a working interest from Thomas Scott in the Texas Pacific Railroad, which was chartered in 1871 to run between Galveston and San Diego, but was virtually unbuilt. Scott also sold Gould a very important newspaper, the New York World. Then Gould grabbed for parts of the defunct railroad. He grabbed at the Kansas Pacific, great subsidies of land, and they had money. The Denver Pacific, the Wabash, the Missouri Pacific. All these were then connected together with feeding lines, gridironing the American West. Then by gaining a favorable transfer agreement with Collis Huntington, Gould gained an outlet to the Pacific Ocean via California. Gould, in conjunction with Huntington, also acquired the Pacific Mail Steamship Company to make sure that ocean carrying rates by way of Panama didn't compete with the railroad crossings of the United States. Then Gould added Western Union Telegraph Monopoly, the rapid transit lines in New York, a series of coal mines, and the Eastern Seaboard Railroad. So he's buying up a storm here. All of these acquisitions were part of Gould's plan to capture strategic sections of the United States industrial system, and then by blocking it first at one point and then at another, he could levy an infinite toll on it. Gould's tactic was that his domination was carried out by strategic working controls rather than by a huge outright investments. He was an absolute master of the art of creating coordinate boards of directors that had complete control of adverse interests. So he ruined certain properties, which he controlled at a minimal expense. This then could be turned to other gains in his other holdings. His tactic hinged on what Thorstein Veblen called, quote, the disturbance of the industrial system. Gould pursued a deliberate policy of mismanagement as a matter of principle, deriving gains from the discrepancies between the real value of the affair and its supposed or transient value in the security markets. In good times, he gave the appearance of misery to his enterprise. In bad times, he pretended to be affluent. Sin and weakness were simulated when he was buying control. Property was selling out. His system could no more fail than loaded dice. And in many cases, it appears that the U.S. economy, or at least the people that he is, people who are using his equipment, are the ones who are going to pay. Now, Gould's analysis of the railroad prospects in the great American West was absolutely superb. He saw immediately that, first of all, it was useless to engage in legitimate shipping and passenger business while waiting for the thinly settled prairie to fill up. So in other words, you had these great lines, but they covered huge amounts of territory, and there really wasn't anybody there. It's not like on the East Coast. It's not like east of the Mississippi River, where there were people everywhere. And of course, industry was there. You have to move the industry out into the West. Even finding mining wasn't really enough. You couldn't make everybody survive. Second, nothing justified the present building and operation of large railroad systems except to keep other entrepreneurs from doing it if he did not. Third, no adequate volume of freight could support the large railroads, but one had to seize the strategic positions just to ensure a future monopoly. There were only two ways, he came to the conclusion, the way to make the operation pay. The first one was owning an unchallenged monopoly in a given territory. Second, charging all the traffic would bear. So you own the monopoly. You control the whole area. And you just charge as much as you want because there is no competition. Or you could do it by manipulation of the capital in the markets, which of course was Gould's specialty. Gould's comment to the people who cursed his name, quote, "We are not in business for our health," end of quote. Gould believed every tactical advantage must be quickly translated into cash and then used again in new ventures. So next we're going to start working on how he managed to achieve this. And the poor old Union Pacific is going to be held up again. Now the sources for this, we have the Robber Barons by Josephson, America in the Gilded Age by Cashman, and The Age of Moguls, The Story of Robber Barons and Tycoons by Holbrook. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the new website, SummaHistorica.com or HistoryAccordingToBob.com, and check out everything that's there. And as always, we could certainly use your support. So if you like what we're doing, feel free to donate to us if you would. Thank you very much.